This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You gotta check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Ooh, 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 ooh. The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello, here I am. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. Welcome to it. Joining me, as always, Brian Frangie. He's in Los Angeles. How's it going, Brian?
Hello. It's going fine. I'm doing fine, everybody.
Great.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah, your wedding is coming up very soon in a couple weekends.
Oh, yes. Don't remind me. The anxiety levels are... Yes, if you want to get tickets to my wedding, you can go to adamtickets.com/Brian's wedding. No, anxiety levels are at a high right now.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because we also have Anya here from, she's in New York. She's also getting married. So you're getting married, Anya's getting married July 9th.
Yep.
And Brian, you're getting married June 17th. So this, and then Noah is also engaged in TBD on when she's going to get married. Like, but yeah. This is wild that we have this, I mean, the randomness with
all
which.
Stages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then me, who's like starting early stages of talking about that kind of stuff with her partner.
Well, you're getting married on August 17th, 2048.
2020.
Right?
Did you not hear
like,
about that?
Honestly, I can work with that date. That is like, that's honestly, this is.
Wait, did he?
I have so much to say.
Did Brian say 2024?
No, he said 48. 2048. And that is honestly a date I can work
okay,
with.
Okay, got it.
That gives me no anxiety.
Perfect. Yes.
We have so many things to talk about. Before we get started, though, I just want to say that the response about Brian has been overwhelmingly positive, almost 100% positive. I see no one said anything negative to me. I'm sure people are writing about it extensively, but I don't read that stuff. You guys know that. But no, it's so heartening to hear, especially on my girls' chat, my best friend, Kirsten, one of my best friends. She's on the girls chat and she's a avid listener to the podcast. And she said that she did an impression of you yesterday. We should play it. I wish I would have saved it, because there's too much other talk on there that I can't just like randomly play stuff, because people are crying about their lives and stuff on there. So but she did cry about Brian's life a little bit. And no, she just did an impression of you that was so sweet, because she's really good at impressions. But she said that she just loves it. I just trust her opinion. She would say nothing if it was like there was nothing to say. Mm-hmm. But she just said She thinks you're so funny. And she's like such an arbiter of what's funny to me because she's one of the funniest people I've ever met. And she just likes your like toot and your mood and your dude. You're a dude.
Well, thank
and she
you
just
so
likes,
much.
She likes it. And she said so many nice things. And I know Noah was on that same chat. Did you hear that, Noah? Didn't that make you feel good?
Yeah, I'm trying to look for it now, but
okay, yeah, look for it.
I would love to hear that impression because it would inform me as to like what I how I am viewed, which is so important.
We don't want to give
you
more stress.
As a comedian to know like what how people view you.
Okay, well, I'll talk exactly at your pace right now. Does this sound like you to you? I mean, we need this on the podcast. I'm fucking motor mouth over here.
I'm totally. I have no idea how I sound or how I'm supposed to sound, and I would love to.
Are you doing stand up right now?
Yeah, I got a show tonight. I was in Arizona actually.
I thought
this past
you meant
weekend.
Right now.
Yeah, wait. Are you doing a bit right now?
This
you
is
were in
my
Arizona
bit.
This past weekend.
Yeah, I was in Tempe, Arizona this past weekend at the Tempe Improv.
Oh, sweet! That's a good club.
Yeah.
Who are you opening for?
Adam Conover.
Oh, that's so fun because if you don't know, Brian wrote on Adam Ruins Everything. Which seasons?
Two through the finale.
And then you also help him on his YouTube channel now, which is like blowing up.
Yeah, YouTube channel. He's got like 600,000 subs. All of his videos get a million views.
Jesus.
And he's like a burgeoning star in the WGA negotiations. He's really becoming...
He's amazing.
Yes. And yeah, and he also had the show The G Word.
How did you get that... Oh yeah, that's right. That and you've got a really great story about that we should get into at some point. Let me just ask you, because I don't know if I know the story. How did you... Wait, you did tell us you got a blind submission for the Adam Conover?
Yeah, you know, we did stand up together, open mics and stuff in New York City back in the early whatever's the 2010-ish area.
I know. We need a name for that.
Yeah, what the fuck? Can we please? I'm sick and tired of saying the early aughts.
Let's coin one.
Whenever someone says the early aughts
makes sense.
I understand
well, that's
it.
Like 2001 to 2008.
Yes.
But then what are we calling 2009 to 2020?
It sucks because if it was the 1900s, you could just say that was the 20s, that was the 30s, that was the 40s. When we're in the 2000s,
why don't we say the
nothing.
10s?
Because
2010.
Nobody does.
The early 2010s? Like, what does that
Why don't we just
that?
Say in so the early 10s? Because no one's talking about the 20th century anymore.
I'm talking about 1910 all the time. Cholera, automobiles,
scurvy,
flappers.
We know nothing.
Okay, I found it. I'm totally out of the loop of this conversation, but I found
it. It doesn't matter. We need to be taken out of it. Okay, so. let's get us out of the 2010s.
Nikki is on fire right now.
I've had a perfect amount of latte.
Okay.
Which is 1.5.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, so here's
venti lattes.
Here's Kirsten's impersonation of Brian wondering about his wedding.
I'm real curious where Brian Frangie is getting married. Like, where is the national park?
I find him hilarious, and I'm so glad that he is a part of the show. I've been meaning to say that because I think it, and he makes me laugh. He like waits for the right time to talk, and yeah, between him and Anya being on it, it's like just the best it's ever been. So thank you.
Thank you.
$5 so she's nice. Washing white asparagus.
Yeah. She's always like meal prepping. Yeah. She's doing something of a woman of which I was. Okay, Brian, how did that make you feel?
That's so nice. And you know what? I've never met Kirsten, I don't think, but I do feel like I know her somewhat from watching the show on E.
Yes, so she's incredible.
I have a face to a name and a personality to a face and a name, and I really appreciate that, and I'm going to compliment the complimenter for complimenting me. That makes me feel really good because I have a lot of self-doubt sometimes about, you know, doing stuff like this
everything.
And putting myself out there and pretty much everything in general, and hearing compliments like that make me feel, give me the confidence to continue, and it's just so important to me that someone would say something like that, so thank you so much.
Aw, that's so nice. I just watched a reel the other day or some it was on Reddit because that's where I get my TikToks, but it was a girl saying I never ever, she was kind of annoying, but she which I should probably not say that based on what she said, but she says, you'll see the irony of why I shouldn't have said that. But she goes, never keep a nice thing to yourself. Only keep bad things to yourself. Never keep a nice thing to yourself unless it's like nice boobs, nice ass. She like gave an example. She was like, I was walking by a girl on the street and I saw her journaling. And I said, you know what? I am so glad I saw this day because it is a nice reminder that I need to get back into journaling. And then the girl goes, I actually haven't journaled for so long. That feels so good to hear. This is going to make me journal more. So she was like, by saying that, I not only reinforced what she was doing that she was doubtful of, and she's going to journal more, but I'm going to journal more. And I felt good. It was just like, oh, that's, we need to be, I always called them drive-by compliments. I started doing them at Lollapalooza in like 2009 when I started going to Lollapalooza. I would like walk around. Yeah, the early tens. I would walk around, and because there's so many crowds and you're just walking through rivers of people upstream, I would just go like, nice bag, great legs, cool hair, nice hat. Like, and I would just do drive-bys. And it so it doesn't have to engage in a conversation, but someone's just getting a little flit of a compliment, especially when you're going to something where people are being dressed to be seen, like a Coachella or Swiftchella, which is Taylor Swift concerts. I was walking in those masses of people and I'm like, I know that I'm dying for someone to compliment my outfit that I've put thought into, because everyone puts thought into their outfit at Taylor Swift concerts. That why am I not complimenting every single person whose outfit I liked? And so I started and it felt so good to do.
Oh, yeah.
But I do want to ask you to follow up Kirsten's question. What national park? Because I kind of, Chris has handled all of our travel, so I don't know exactly where it is. And why did you choose that national park? And what are we going to be doing?
I will answer that question. However, I have a comment about what you just said.
Please.
About the drive-by compliments. So, like,
again, your choices of when to talk, yes, like Kirsten said, are just genius. No, they are. It's good.
When you are done talking.
Yeah.
I have waited till she has finished talking and now I am talking. And when you're doing striking and you have the WGA signs, you can write whatever you want on the signs. And a lot of people are like taking these signs personally. And it is kind of like, well, I'm a writer. I'm writing on this sign.
Oh,
if this
yeah.
isn't a good fucking sign, then like, and you're surrounded by other people who could potentially hire you.
You gotta compliment people's signs.
You if should say the AI stuff. Signs. Those are fucking awesome.
Traffic cones are like the Kardashians.
Complimenting other people's signs is a genius idea. And also, you have to make sure your
sign.
What
are some good ones? What is yours?
So
what
I wrote a bad
been?
One.
Your best one.
I wrote a bad one.
Okay,
and
share that one.
I
for,
feel very
for sure.
not because I thought it's so bad because I thought it was good. And then I'd be like, people would be like, what's your sign? And then I'd
That's
be like,
that's art, man.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh, it was this. And then I would get silence. Like I was walking with these two people who were like, you know, more successful than me. And they were, and I was like, I wrote this sign, but it's, I haven't seen it around lately. Cause you know, you leave the signs there when you leave and they're like, oh, what did
oh,
it
and
say?
And then people can pick up your sign
you
and
can
reuse
pick up
it
any
if
one
they
sign.
Like it.
You just keep
oh,
rotating
cool.
signs. And they said, what did your sign say? And I was like, it said, two wrongs don't make a writer. And then just like now, silence.
I like it. I like it. Yeah, well, it takes
laughing.
A minute to compute, but it seems
it doesn't
clever.
Make sense.
Compute is the right word. I think AI, this is an argument for AI. We need.
No,
it's bad.
No.
I realize now.
It's funny that it's bad. It's,
yeah.
Wait,
honestly,
I think it's
Brian,
great.
You were, it's not.
It's
you
not?
Did not. You were not trying to be like prolific, like you weren't trying, that's the wrong word, I'm a bad writer, but you weren't trying to be, to write something that was going to like make people think. You were being ironic kind of and doing a pun.
Yes.
Obviously, because you're a writer, puns are the lowest common denominator. So you were being funny by you, I see what you're doing. It is funny in that respect.
Yeah.
Because you were trying to be a little.
If
but
I'm going to be
totally
honest,
right.
I wasn't trying to be ironic. I was literally thought
but
it was
funny. What is two wrongs? What does that even
AI?
Mean?
I don't know.
I don't know. AI is one of them, and there's got to be
okay.
another wrong. And
yeah,
those two
not getting paid
don't
enough.
Make
yes.
a writer.
I thought there'd be some logic there. Anyway, that sign's...
You know what I thought was interesting about the AI thing, which I didn't know until I listened to Justine Bateman on something or read something mm-hmm. that she posted? The whoever, they're not even willing to talk about AI, right? Isn't that, there's like a stalemate about that? Like, they just don't even want to talk about it or have
any
kind
of... They refuse to come to the table to discuss it because they say, we refuse to put limitations on a technology we might use in the future.
Right. Okay. But the I didn't realize the problem would be that AI. Okay. So it's going to take people's jobs. That's the big issue that is like front and center. But the truth is that even if that happens and that's all legal and fine, AI will only be able to generate new material based on the material that it is fed from writers who have existed before. So writers need to be paid for the machines that are going to use their writing, not to mention they're going to lose their jobs, but like they should be compensated for like the stuff that's plugged into the machine.
Yes.
I thought that was an interesting point. I hadn't also thought about.
There's some copyright lawsuits.
Right,
just like
takes everything that exists.
Yeah, it takes everything that exists. It plugs it into the machine, and then it spits out a a farcical, plagiarized version of a script that a writer would write and has no humanity in it at all. I really don't believe that AI is ever going to be able to replace writers in terms of that. But what it can replace
is... What about humanity?
It can replace... If it replaces humanity, then it'll be great because then it'll be AI making stuff for other AI and that'll probably be a utopian society that would be better than what we currently have. But
I saw a clip of... Oh, sorry, what? What's your butt?
Well, AI... So SAG-AFTRA has just decided they're going to do a vote on whether to strike or not also. And like AI can definitely replace actors and actresses by just like they could take a likeness of you, Nikki. Like let's say you sign a contract and you say, I'm going to be doing this show. And then you tape for one day and then they get all the angles of you and then they can take your likeness and they can just have AI perform all the other scenes for you and you don't get paid for that. And that's
what F Girl Island will be once we get all the footage from F Boy 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
scary. You can go home early. Deepfakes are already so good. Like you can kind of do that. I watched this one that someone made me, my friend Brian Monarch, who does deepfakes of like, you'll often see like Joe Rogan and Theo Vaughn on different faces. Brian Monarch is the guy behind those, but he did one of me as Taylor Swift and I watch it all the time because I go there and then there's me doing stand-up but it's Taylor Swift's face and you just realize that Taylor Swift's prettier than me because I look weird on her face and then she looks great on my face and you just kind of go, oh, we know what's going on here. But beside that, I love watching it because there's often times that I watch Taylor Swift and or anyone for that matter doing things with their fingers, young Korean children playing guitar. And you go, my fingers can do all of those things. Those fingers are not, have abilities that mine don't. Why? It gives me hope, but it also gives me a sense of defeat. Do you ever do that where you're like, that person's body is no different than mine? Athletes, you go, no, that's different. They've worked harder. But like guitar, like, schlubby guitarist, I'm just like, there's no muscle. There are muscles there that I'm not aware of. And, there's just more than anything, there's brain matter that I don't have.
Yeah, there's strong neuronal neurons connecting each other fastly.
I watched Anya do like finger picking and like, I don't even understand. I mean, I do because I have sensed that practice leads to like memorizing things and all that stuff. But even when you're playing that one song, Not a Through Street, which if you've never heard Anya's song, Not a Through Street, please Spotify right now, pause the episode, go to it. Aww. It's one of my favorite songs.
Thank you.
But the finger picking on that, you go like all up and down and it's just so, I'm like, do you,
it's not hard.
When you play that song, is it a memorization thing? Like your body has memorized it or is it like, oh, I know what I'm doing.
It's not hard. You could totally do it. There's just one part that's a little challenging. It's all about just memorizing like patterns in my mind. Like my fingers make this shape, then they make this shape. I don't know what notes I'm playing. I have the same thing with you when you're playing a Taylor Swift strum that I don't know that I've talked about multiple times. And I'm like,
yeah,
how
that makes me feel
is
good
she
that
doing
I have
that?
A skill you don't have on guitar. It's the only thing I have to my name.
It's very frustrating. And I'm slowly getting it. And it does come with repetition. But man, you've invested a lot of hours because you're singing things at a different So you're doing a syncopated thing, which is really advanced, and you don't even know you're doing a syncopated thing, but it's incredibly hard for me.
So nice.
It's like but rubbing your belly and patting your head at the same time.
Right. Well, I have that feeling a lot when, like, you know, normal everyday people say, like, the funniest thing I've ever heard. That is not just, like, you know, the way they said it or, like, a funny thing. Like, it's, like, actually, like, mathematically hilarious, where I'm like, right. Oh.
Like, two wrongs don't make a writer.
That's mathematically hilarious.
What is the good sign you did?
Oh, so then, I mean, this is just life. You know, I just drew a picture of a pile of shit and it fucking lit up the place. Everybody was like, ha ha, look at that.
Did it have a caption with it?
It's just a pile of shit. It just was a pile of shit with flies around it. And people were like, I love that sign. It was a pretty good drawing.
You should go into art, not writing.
He's an animator.
You are an animator. You do great animations.
Was that depressing at all for you that you're like, wait, I barely tried on this song?
It's so embarrassing when that happens.
I mean,
when you get a compliment for something that took zero effort, like in preparing my new special that I'm going to tape this December in Seattle, watch out. I'm talking to Chris about all my jokes and he's like, well, you got to do this one. And I'm like, I hate that joke. Every time I tell it, I cringe. I don't like when people laugh at it because I didn't do anything to earn it. It didn't take any brain power. It was my shit. You know, it's me drawing a picture of shit, which I have drawn. And I have actually talked about drawing shit on stage. And that was actually one of my favorite jokes is when I talk about, I think it was my last special. Maybe I cut it out, but I talk about how, it was something about being less scared of people finding nudes in my phone than I can't take a picture of my shit. I've wanted to take pictures of my shit to like send my friends because they've been so impressive. And if I can just say for a second, I did not really have a lot of exodus happening in my European trip.
That's
I have
common.
To go to break. I'm going to share with you something that happened this morning and I want to talk about it, but
no.
I was really stuffed up all the break and then we're going to talk about shit when we get back, but I will not be graphic and maybe Brian will draw a picture of it. Oh my God, you guys, I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they are all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US, and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good. Have you ever seen a girl with a perfect wardrobe and everything just looks like clean and put together and you know she's not rich and you're like, how is this happening? I swear to God, this bitch knows about Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. I'm talking 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. Did you hear me say washable silk tops? Yes, washable. I have a silk dress from them and I did wash it and it still looks great. It is such like a cute piece that I will have forever that just matches with everything. Add some Quince pieces to your wardrobe to just elevate the whole thing. People will think you shop in France. I know you're thinking, well, Nikki, why is Quince so cheap? There's always a reason. Well, it's because they directly partner with top factories. They cut out the middleman and they pass the savings on to you. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/Nikki. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you're like me and you struggle with FOMO and also FOGO, which is fear of going out, then you might need therapy, because it has really helped me to talk to a therapist about my social anxiety and how that manifests for me. It looks different than other people. I just feel guilty all the time if I don't do things, and then I dread doing them. But it's something that I've learned to accept and just embrace about myself, and to forgive myself and to like myself about it. If you are also on a journey to appreciating yourself and accepting yourself, can I recommend therapy? It is so helpful to talk to someone who is not going to judge you, who has heard it all. BetterHelp is the way to start, because it's all online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You fill out a brief questionnaire, and then you get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you don't like them and it doesn't go well, you just switch. You don't even have to like talk to them about it. That's the beauty of BetterHelp. It is for people with social anxiety. So if you struggle with social anxiety, find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NikkiGlaser today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/NikkiGlaser.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Okay, so we've got a lot of loose ends to tie up. We're going to find out why you're having a wedding in the Rocky Mountains. And then let me just talk about my shit observation. So the observation I made in my special about shit was that I didn't want my nudes to leak. But I'm more worried about if I've never taken a picture of my shit, even though there's been times where it's looked exactly like something. Like one time it looked exactly like Mr. Hanky, the shit from South Park. Like it was him. And I wanted to take, but I couldn't, because what if someone finds my phone? Or it's been like especially huge. And I think the joke I made was like, I could give birth out of my ass based on this. Like, and Anya and I, when we were living together, because I never wanted to take a picture of it, I would draw it.
Yeah, I still have it.
It's almost like, I would be better off drawing a picture of Muhammad than I would like the shit that they would be more damning for my reputation. But do you guys ever have the thing? So I was really stopped up in Europe, and I guess that is a common thing. Like, it's the travel bloat. Like, I sent a picture to Anya of my stomach. She sent one back later. Yeah. I looked 6 months pregnant. I think we talked about this already.
No, we did not.
But I looked legit Shiv Roy last episode of Succession, 6 months pregnant. And I showed Chris, I put a towel over it to show Chris, because I couldn't have him see my actual, but I was like, just know underneath this, look at me. I look pregnant. And he was just like, are you? Like, he was so confused by it.
It is crazy what the body can do, and that it's just gas, mostly gas and water.
Well, mine was material. And it was, and then I thought, you know, by the end of it, I was like, you know, things are happening. Things are flowing. There's like little things happening here and there, but there was nothing substantial. And I'm not someone who tracks like what's going on with my body very much. But the past 2 days, I don't know if anyone's ever had this. I woke up this morning with a horrible headache, and it started last night, and I've been kind of regular since I got back, which is my favorite word to say I've been shitting normally, when people are just like, I'm regular. it's such a stupid word to, it's like when people are like, we're trying, and everyone's like, oh, you're getting cummed in every night. Like, it's kind of the same thing of like, I'm regular. It's like, ew, I just see like poop like coming out in a good amount of chunks coming out of your butt. I thought I was regular, and then this last night I had like a headache. This morning I woke up with a headache. I couldn't get out of bed, and I was, you know, putting my eye mask on super tight so it would just push my head to make it stop. And then I went to the bathroom, and I was like, oh my God, that was it. I was like, oh, this, that like solved my headache. Then I went down to Starbucks and had a sip of coffee, and I instantly was like, what's the bathroom code? And it is, I tried to memorize it, because every time I always think I'm not going to need it in my phone. but I should have put it in. I think it's, oh, I remembered it. 6223. And you know how I remembered it? I was saying that's like, just remember a disgusting age, like a couple in Hollywood, like 6223. Like that to me is just like a gap that would happen. So I went in there and I had the best BM of my life, which is on par with many I've had, but isn't the best one where you're in a public space where you're like kind of worried about the plumbing situation and the eel that you release into the wild, the electric eel goes right down the hole. Like it knows where its home is, like disappears. Don't you love that when you look in and it's already on its way and you're like, this is going to be no issue, because the issue is always the breaking up of it. And then it breaks and then it tries to go in twice. Like both sides try to go in. We all know this. This is a thing that happens to most of us. But I was like, has anyone talked about the satisfaction when you look down and you go, oh, good snake. You know where your home is. It's already like headed out the door. Is that relatable?
I always imagine like those Olympic divers and they have like the perfect dive, and that's what I related to.
Yes. It just slices through the water perfectly. It doesn't touch the out. You could drop your phone in the bowl and if it just hit the sides, it wouldn't even touch the giant.
Yeah. And aren't you kind of shocked and proud when like the tail is coming out?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like it's like out of the
water.
Oh, like
when it's coming out of the hole? Oh, I've never had that before. But I think in Europe, I did a little bit, even though that my poops weren't big enough. Because in Europe, that's where it would have happened. Because the water level is so low in Europe toilets.
Mm. Yes. And also you have a weird thing in Berlin that you never saw. Because in Berlin apartments, because we weren't in apartments, we were in hotels. But in the apartments in Berlin, there is a poo shelf. And there's no water. So when you poop on a shelf in the toilet, and then there's like, then it flushes. So it's truly disgusting because.
The water comes from the side of the bowl onto the shelf and pushes it down like a waterfall.
And do you know what the shelf was for? It had a practical purpose. For people to inspect for worms and stuff. So you were supposed to like go through your poop. It's insane. I went to my friends and I was like, oh, it smells the entire bathroom up if it doesn't immediately submerge into water.
It's like a
little
trophy shelf. It's for some of the things I've let go. And I had worms in my poop in fourth grade and I remember seeing them. And then they went back inside really quickly the time I called my parents in.
Oh, God.
And I remember being like, there were. And I thought I was hallucinating because they would not come out again once they got spooked by my like parents being there. They were party worms and they don't like parents around. And so they ran. They thought the cops were coming. They ran back in the poop. And I was like, I know I saw it. And then I made the dumb mistake of telling my friend Molly Collier. I know you're out there. No. She's actually nice to me now. She's a fan. She's been at shows. But she... I told her in fourth grade that I had worms in my poop, and man, then everyone knew by lunch or by recess that I had worms in my poop. Yeah. And then I had to deny, kind of like Kendall Roy in the final episode in one pivotal scene. Not even a spoiler alert. Just giving you got to get to it. If you haven't gotten to it yet, get to it. But have you ever done that where you told someone something embarrassing when you were young and then...
Well, you denied and then you pooped and then you're like, everybody look at my poop because the worms hide. And then, of course, the dumb worms would come out if you showed everybody.
Yeah. Or if you were... Yeah, if everyone go, look, there's no worms because you know they're going to hide. And then that's when they're like, hey, what's up? I'm finally ready to come out. Like it's Pride Those Month for worms. Yeah. Okay, Brian, why the national park? We know you love the outdoors.
Oh, yes.
And your lady, Allie. Why this one and where are we going?
We are going to Rocky Mountain National Park in Colorado.
Right. Okay.
And that's also where I proposed. And Allie and I have this thing where we want to go to all 63 national parks before we die.
I'm working on my Franchi impression.
How many do you have?
Over 20. Over 20, yeah.
Oh, that's good. Wow. You can die soon.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't go that fast. That's the lesson.
Are you getting married outside? When are you starting to look at the weather? Like, is it that far out that you can start kind of seeing?
In
2 weeks.
Mountain weather is unpredictable, but I kind of hope... You know the mountain weather. It's really...
I don't.
I hope that it rains, honestly. I love the rain. I think it would be great if it rained. It's outside, but it's a cover
thing.
And
Allie seems easygoing, like she wouldn't care if it rains, and she'd look like hot in rain.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, she wouldn't care. I think she likes the rain, too. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You got a good one.
When you say that on the podcast, you know, she listens to the podcast. And when you say she's pretty, it like makes her weak.
Oh my God. If she doesn't know, she's one of the prettiest people going. Like naturally, effervescently, a beautiful person. Like Chris and I are pretty obsessed with her. And she's just a lovely person. I'm actually really looking forward to like going on trips with you guys as couples. And getting to know her more and better, because she's just an instantly fun person. I first met her, I think maybe I met her before Tim's wedding, but that's when I first feel like I got to know her.
We went to a breakfast brunch thing at the Sunset Junction. Lizzie Cooperman was there.
Yeah.
Chris was there.
Not an ideal situation. Yes, I think I was in like a funky mood that day, and I've been in some funky moods around her actually. Even when we went to dinner at that Tao, I think it was.
Oh, you feel like you're
Allie,
in a funky
if you're listening,
mood?
I apologize for my mood that night.
I was in a bad mood, man.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I was.
Oh my God.
I'm not. I don't think I was. I know I was. I was depressed that day, and I was being kind of like existential dread, Nikki, of like, I don't even like my life. Like, I was just being a bitch. And then I think it was probably triggered by how pretty she was. And I was feeling fat that night. And she just looked, and she got like all this food that I was like, man, she just is one of these girls that can eat what she wants. And like, she just looks great. Like, just me at my worst. And then I knew Chris. I felt bad because it was supposed to be like couples having a couple-y dinner and like getting to know each other. And I'm just morose. And I'm not being rude, but I'm just being... I'm just in a bad mood. And then I felt bad because I know that I wasn't my best for that. And it was like, I think that Chris was wanting it to be like, we're going to be this foursome, you know, this is the quad.
Yeah.
It's a reference Succession. And I felt like I blew it. And then I felt like we redeemed it on the street though, because we talked to you about some ideas.
This is mind-blowing.
How was because when was this like the early tens or
this was November.
Okay. It was 1910
December.
Yeah. It must have been January.
Okay, of this year. Yeah, it was before Brian was on the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
you guys were just visiting. Maybe this was when you were doing Wheel of Fortune or something. I don't
yes.
remember exactly.
Yeah,
what.
This wasn't in our Santa Monica trip where we were living there. This was a separate visit when I was just at a hotel down the street. So yes. Yeah, he was there visiting. Yes.
This is a lesson to everybody listening. I'm sure this happens all the time, because I left that dinner thinking that I was a piece of shit, and I felt like I wasn't at my best because I had gotten my tooth extracted 6 days prior to the dinner.
You were in pain.
I was in horrible pain. I just felt like I wasn't.
You couldn't eat anything.
I couldn't eat anything. I asked the
waiter. Jealous.
I have to ask the waiter what's the softest food they have.
But that was funny. You brought levity with your pain.
But this is the lesson. This is the lesson. After that dinner, I was in the car with Allie, and I was like, was I just a piece of shit all night?
Aww.
And she was like, no. I was like, it just didn't feel like, you know, usually when the four or the three of us, Allie wasn't usually there, but when the three of us hang out, it feels just very
easy.
Comfortable and easy. And that night I was like, I think I was a piece of shit.
No, it was me, man.
And that's the lesson.
Like, yeah. You
Everyone
were picking up on
them.
My vibe. I'll take responsibility for that, because you were in pain and I'm sure there was something off about you, but I was not yes anding that night, and it was on me. And I've been pretty reflective this morning. I was doing some journaling about my mood disorder that I clearly have, and like that reared its head in the international trip like literally 1,000 times. I just there's an email coming to you, Anya, at 1 o'clock, because I have this new feature on Gmail that everyone should do. If you're writing on your phone, you hold down the send button and then it gives you the option to send later and pick a time.
Yeah.
And it's so great, because I wanted to send this I wrote this whole email to Anya, just, you know, going over our trip, a postmortem, if you will, and just thanking her. But I was also like being reflective of like, all of the shit, like all the shitty things I did on the trip, because I was like pretty like not great sometimes. I, you know, and there was nowhere for me to like, usually, and I'm not making excuses, but I am, usually I have alone time to cry or to like really panic and like kind of vent, not even cry, because I don't really cry when I'm alone, but like being alone, I guess, helps me just let it out in whatever way. But I was never alone because I was with Chris the whole time, which is great because I wasn't like abusing food with for my feelings because I was accountable. I wasn't like, there were so many great things about living with someone. And in fact, Chris and I decided like we want to live together after this trip because there was great things. Spoiler alert. But I do think that living in small hotel rooms where there's not separate rooms and places for you to get away and have alone time. Because when we had that in like certain suites, no, we would have like a balcony.
There was, even if you had separate rooms, like no time to do anything.
It just, my feelings got constipated. And so I was cranky and bloated the entire time. None of my clothes fit, which is the number one time for Nikki to get, I hate to talk in third person, but for me to feel bad is to be uncomfortable in my clothes. None of them fit. And I made the mistake of, I have this amazing stylist here in St. Louis who hooks me up with, she writes companies on my behalf and has them send me stuff. And then I post and tag them and then we send them back. And I've talked about this. They're all sample size twos, but I didn't try on any of the outfits before I went because I was like, I'll be fine, you know? And then I get there and I have nothing to wear except these clothes that are all too tight and make me feel insane. And meanwhile, I can't poop. I'm bloated. I just, and, and I was like under the impression that Europe is supposed to make you like diuretic or whatever, but it didn't happen for me. And, so I was just like a moody bitch and like I really, and I don't think I'm alone in this. That's why I'm sharing it. Like, I don't think this is something unique about me or I'm a bad person. But like when I get in a bad mood, I want to make other people in a bad mood too. Like, I want other people to feel mad or to feel like I feel. What is that? And why do, I don't think everyone does that because I don't have it happen to me from other people all the time. But like, what is that need to bring? Why don't I want to absorb some people's happiness instead of bring people down with me?
Because you don't want to be alone.
Yeah, you're looking for affirmation. You want, I feel this way. And if other people don't feel this way, that means I'm a psychopath. And so I need other people to feel that way. It.
Yeah, it's, and like, you're what big I say on about like, J-Lo. Am I a psychopath? Am I crazy? Yeah. I'm so weird. Why can't I be like other people?
Right. It's also harder work to feel better. It's easier
and
to,
when you're
to go down.
Feeling sad, your muscles are like, you're emotionally weak. Like, you can't do the hard thing. And it's easier just to do the worst thing, which is just stay in that mindset and like make little jabs that like, you know, aren't specific enough for that person to go like, fuck you, but like are shitty enough that they feel bad. Like, I'm
probably a cry
kind
for
of
help.
Expert at that. Yes. Yes.
We talked about muscle memory in the first segment, and because you've done it so much, it's just like muscle memory now. So to
I'm like,
unwire that
Korean
is really
kids.
Difficult.
With a guitar, except mine's with, you know.
It feels so sadness. Good to keep digging and digging deeper and just piling on. Yeah. That's, it almost feels like indulging in like eating a bunch of food or like or staying in bed at, like if you wake up in the morning you just stay in bed, like it's so easy to just keep doing that. And something I learned recently is that you can fake being happy. All right, you can fake it, you can smile, you can just, even if it's like to a psychotic degree of being like, I'm happy, this is amazing, oh my god, this is the best day ever. And the trick is that will not make you feel better that day, but it will make you feel better 2 days from then.
Oh, it's like exercise or like eating right. Why doesn't it just show up right away?
I gotta try that. I don't know if that's true.
Can I tell you about a book I'm reading a third of right now that I'm so into?
Yes, please.
And this is legit. I know that I felt this way about a lot of books, but I stand by all the ones that I said this is good. This is kind of talking about the same kind of thing that I... There was a book I was reading a long time ago. Let me just... I forget what it was. It was probably last summer. And it was about manifestation and quantum physics and how if you imagine something enough, it's also Louise Hay. I've talked about her, just like the power of positive thinking. Mm-hmm. And obviously this has been talked about extensively everywhere you look. But this book that I don't know why it was in my library on my phone, but I think I just download books sometimes from the subreddit books. It'll say like, what's a book that's changed your life? And I just, anyone who has a list that I think is compelling, I'll just download all those samples of the books. And so one day I was looking for something to read, and that day being on the way to the Europe trip, I was reading The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, which, by the way, was everyone read in 2014 or 16 when it came out. It's so good, you guys. I know it's kind of kuh, and it's like the subtle, like the amount of people who like commented on my book and were like, whoa, that's a funny title. I'm like, how did were you asleep in 2016? This was everywhere. But they but it really, then the guy kind of writes in a kuh way, but it's very conversational, and he's not kuh. The book is not kuh. They made him call it that. Like, the publishers were like, you should call it that. He wanted to call it something else. So, like, just like my show Not Safe with Nikki Laser, which that name was so kuh, and I didn't like it at all because it made it seem like what I'm doing is not safe. We wanted to call it NSFW. Just like Not Safe for Work, like this is stuff that like you shouldn't watch at work. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't us being like, we're so not safe for work. But then they were like, no one knows what NSFW means, them being Comedy Central. And they weren't wrong. Some people didn't know, but they would have Googled it or something. It doesn't matter. Anyway, they made us call it Not Safe. And I hated it because it sounded like I thought I was sweet. Right. And I don't think I'm sweet. Sometimes I do, but I'll usually attest to it. Then I did not think I was sweet, so I hated that title. So anyway, don't judge a book. But this book I'm reading now, it's called The Power of Your Subconscious Mind by Joseph Murray, PhD, and then comma DD. I don't know what DD is. Dungeons and Dragons.
Doctor of Dentistry.
Oh yeah,
I don't know.
But it's
not.
It was written in the 60s, I believe, or maybe the early 70s, but probably 60s. And it's the language, kind of the way it's written, is kind of new agey and kind of like, it just sounds like some guy who thinks he's pretty sweet. But it is all about, and it's just what I love about it is you get everything you need from the first chapter, and then it's just repeating it over and over. And I love a book like that, because what that tells me is this is simple, but what is difficult is getting it through your fucking skull. Mm. So I like a book that's not like, this is all these steps. It's like, what is difficult is not what we're doing. It's what it is, forgetting all the stuff you know. And that's the same thing my voice teacher said yesterday. He was like, singing is not hard. People think it's hard, but what is hard, it's psychological. What is hard about singing? He was like, most people could be good singers. He was like, most people, besides like Harvey Fierstein, who actually has a throat thing, like both of his vocal, like all of his vocal folds are filing at the same time, so he always sounds like this. He was like, that guy can never sing good. But most people can sing. What gets in the way is trying too hard. And what you need to do is learn how to not try, which is hard in and of itself, yeah. But it's actually, you have to learn to not do things. And that's what this book is about. It's about just positive thinking, like how you have to, just anytime you have a negative thought, just don't say it out loud. Don't give it. I said yesterday on the girls chat, don't put air in that balloon. Like, know, it's there. That. Have the thought. But like, don't feed that dog. The dog that's like, ah, like, don't, like, aww, don't feed that possum. Aww. Let it starve. But the thing that I like about it is that because it talks about how it can heal. And it's also quantum physics-y, which I always like, but it's not actually talking about that, but it's the same things as the other guy talked about that really sold me on how manifestation is a science, and it's not just like foo-foo, woo-woo, God shit. And this is all about God and how people pray things away, mm-hmm. and how prayer works not because necessarily God is doing things for you, but because your subconscious mind is what is running everything in your body. It's the thing that's keeping you breathing. You're not like thinking like, I have to breathe right now. You know, like, it just keeps your heartbeat going, all these things. Your subconscious mind is in control.
Yes.
And your conscious mind is giving directions to your subconscious mind all mm-hmm. the time. And your subconscious mind is kind of autistic in the sense that it takes you literally. Mm. It does not have a sense of humor. It does not have a sense of irony. So you have to tell it. Have I said this before on this podcast?
Yes.
Sorry.
Last time.
Sorry to repeat myself, but
no, I think repeat it. Was like it. Two maybe two. We said yeah. it in the first chapter.
We need it.
But I'm getting
it
again.
It again and again. Yeah. So yeah. It
yeah.
I'm
sorry
head.
To do it again, but I'm so on board, and I do think there's something to
I'm
this.
I'm on board too.
I'm resisting it so much because it's so it's exactly what we were just talking about. It's the harder thing to do, which is just not feed that dog and feed those negative thoughts because you want to so badly. But the more I read about this, it's like prayer works because you are trusting that God is going to take care of it. The people that prayer works for, where they heal things about their body, things that they could never heal, it's not because, you know, necessarily God is waving his magic wand and a miracle's happening. Your subconscious mind is your conscious mind is saying, please, God, take this away. And it's believing that God is taking it away.
Yeah.
People that really believe there's a guy that's like, I care about you and I'm going to take care of you. They believe it so much that you send a signal to your subconscious mind that is not, doesn't have any sense of like there's any make believe or that you would ever be lying to it. And it actually runs with that and then starts the healing process. And it works on a cellular level of all the, you know, the way that you are breathing right now. And it, you don't have to tell it to breathe. It will start healing these things, and it can work for ailments, and it can work for talent and artistry or a thing. You know, I've just been going like my body rids the energy that it doesn't need and keeps what it does. And this is my new weight loss plan. I am like, instead of, because I've been like trying to tool with like, maybe I'll try to get on Ozempic. Maybe I'm going to start starving myself again. All of these things I've just been like kind of gambling with myself. But instead, I'm just telling myself my body uses the fuel it needs and it gets rid of the fuel it doesn't. It doesn't keep around things it doesn't need. And that to me is what being the right size is like, I don't want to, I just want to be the right size for me. I'm feeling a little bit bloated right now. And to get to that right size, which I have been before and I've been healthy at that size, I'm just telling myself I am a beautiful, long, slender lady, which I am. I'm a tall lady that has long, slender features. And that is just who I am. And that is who I will. I'm just saying that to myself over and over. I'm not saying I am Kate Moss. I am, you know, things I wish I were that I my body can't be necessarily. I'm just sending the messages of something that I know is within my the realm of possibility for me. And I'm telling my body, like, this is what I am. And I'm also telling my body, I'm one of the best singers that's ever lived. I'm one of the greatest comedic minds of all time. I am the voice of a generation. I am telling myself things that I, let me just sneak it in, don't really believe. But
no!
I am saying them over. I'm just saying that just because I don't want anyone to think that I think these things, but I want to be these things. And so I am telling myself that I am, because you, the key, what I've learned, and if anyone knows more about this than me, please enlighten me. But the key is not to say what you want to be and be like, I want to be the best singer ever. I want to be the best singer ever. Like writing that over and over, or, you know, meditating on that. It's I am.
Right.
The best singer ever.
It goes beyond just things. Like forcing your subconscious to do it. You need to have that attitude. It is a requirement in order to become the best singer ever or the best comedian ever, because the way the world views you is only 50% on talent, then it's 50% on confidence. And you need to have that aura about you that says, I am the best and I know it. Are you stupid? Because it seems like you don't know it yet. That's the way you become the best.
I'm scared of being that, though. Let me be honest. I'm scared of being that that person that I know who's delusional. I want to feel, again, like I want to approve of myself. I want to know my limitations and be okay with them. But at the same time, you're right. I do want to be the best singer in the world, which I'm never going to sound like Beyonce, I don't think, or Adele. I don't think my head shape or my vocal cords are shaped in the way to ever be that way. But I can... I think Taylor Swift is one of my favorite singers. And she does not have the same voice as a Kelly Clarkson or an Adele or a powerhouse of like Ariana Grande. And I think she would even admit that. But her voice to me is something so special that I would trade in all of those girls for her voice any day, because it's perfect to me. And so I think I think that's what I'm getting at. And it's so hard to do, though. I got to say that maybe this is why I'm repeating it on here, is because when I first read it, I was like, this is what I'm going to do every morning. I'm going to write 100 times over. I'm the best singer in the world. My body rids itself of energy that it doesn't need. It keeps what it needs. I'm a slender, beautiful, young woman. My face is not falling off my skull. Like, I was going to say all the things that, like,
no, you can't
I
say
am.
That one.
or like I like gravity will affect my face in the in a beautiful way. Like yeah. I'll say whatever it is.
You should alter that line a little bit of the my body rids itself of things it doesn't need. There's too many negatives in there. It should be my body only keeps what it needs, like something like
yes,
that.
Okay. Like yes, okay. Yes, you're right. That's good. Keep it positive. That's a good point. And I was like, I'm going to do this every morning. It's been a struggle for me because I've been waking up feeling not like that. And I've given in to not having those thoughts. And I've given in to the negative thoughts. And I've been like kind of blowing up those balloons, even though I'm reading this book knowing, and I know for sure this works. I have no question. I'm as sure as there's no free will. And you guys all know how I feel about that. I'm positive this works. Yes. I've never been so positive of anything in my life, yet I'm still struggling to use it. Brian, have you been on... I know that Noah and Anya know about the power of positive thinking. Why aren't we all doing this all the time?
Because of the pharmaceutical industry. They want to make money off you by giving you pills. Everyone, capitalism just tells you you're not enough. And we have, if for $14.99 a month, we have the solution to your problem and it takes 5 seconds. People are too lazy. They don't want to do the work.
What's $14.99 a month? How do I get it?
Apple TV, you know, that's all you need.
Oh, right. Right.
I mean, whatever it is, like, you know, you could take a pill or you could go to this person or whatever they're selling, or you could just buy this hamburger and you'll feel better for 5 seconds. That's what capitalism is. It's creating needs in you, saying you're not good enough, you don't have this, and you need all of these products.
Yeah, you stink, you're disgusting.
You're a piece of shit.
But anyway, why don't you do it ever? Do you you do a lot of positive stuff, but like,
I think human beings are,
why can't we do it?
We're complicated. We're not all positive. So we have a lot of this darkness, and that's why we probably don't do this stuff every day, because the dark voices are always there, and it's just a practice. It's like yoga, you know, every day you try to turn the volume up on the affirmations and the positive stuff and turn the volume down on the bullshit. So much of what was ailing me was I was believing my thoughts, and then I realized my thoughts are not facts. It's just like an angry guy in there that's like, you know, you'll never.
Thoughts are things. Yeah. Nikki.
The cool thing about affirmations or like dreaming, daydreaming, fantasizing, visualizing what you'd like. I think that's so powerful. Prayer, whatever you want to call it, is. The reason it's so useful is sometimes you haven't even thought about what you want. You're just thinking how much you don't like what you have. Oh, this sucks. Why is this way? I hate my voice. I hate my partner. I don't like where I live. Blah, blah. And then if someone's like, what do you want? Well, like in a perfect world, like my experiment about, let's say a phone rings and you pick it up and your dream is on the other end of the phone. They're like, Nikki,
oh, we love this
you
question.
Got this job, or you're going to move here, or you're going to be dating so-and-so. What is the phone call saying? Like when you write down or you visualize your dream, it's hard. And sometimes you realize, I don't know what I want. I don't even know what my dream is.
I don't know what I want. My mom has said that to me my whole life. You don't even know what you like when she's holding up two pairs of shorts for me to like wear to school. And we're at Famous Bar and she's shopping and I'm doing that thing, crossing my arms. And she goes, Nick, which one of, do you want to get this or this one? I'm like, I don't know. She was like, you don't even know what you like. And that's another struggle for me is like Chris talking about what's our 5-year plan. Just imagine what you want in 10 years. And I'm like, more of this? I don't know. I don't know. But what about that phone call? I want to hear what, if you have to choose right now that a phone is going to ring and it, on the other end is going to be. What is it, Anya? It's like asking you something or
it's like, guess
you
what? This happened.
It's information.
Like you got a job on SNL or you're going to be doing a movie with Judd Apatow.
So it rings. First of all, I'm not going to answer it because I'm going to be like, who the fuck is this number?
And your ringer's off.
Yeah, it's all miss it. So,
and then it goes to voicemail and it's like, hey, this is your dream. If you have a chance, can you please call me back because I have a lot of good things
and then
today.
My voicemail is full. So it just doesn't even get through. Wait a second. Okay, Brian, what is your call right now? Ring, 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 ring.
Hello? Oh, wait, I have to say it.
Wait. Yeah, I'm you. Hello?
Hey, listen, Brian, you just...
Who's this?
Oh, this is your dream calling you. listen, you just sold a cartoon to Fox or Hulu or something, and you're going to be the creator and showrunner of your own cartoon.
Oh, yes. My God. That's a good one. Yeah. Okay.
Guess what?
Wait, Brian, can I ask you?
This is not outlandish to me, Nikki and Noah, at all.
At all. I'm like, just well, that's why I'm asking. Do you have scripts out there to could that happen? Oh, like, could a script get into the hand of someone that could call you and say that?
Yeah. I mean, I did sell a show once, but it just didn't get picked up the series. So it's, I'm close enough, but I,
yeah.
You know, it's just so hard.
That's so, God, man, your dream stresses me out. If that call came in, I'd be like, I got to come up with an idea and I got to like learn how to draw. Like, I love that someone else's dream could be my like kind of like stressful thing. But I love that dream for you. And that is so going to happen for you. And even you putting it out here like this, there's maybe someone listening that's like works in, you know, what's it called? Talent development, or like, you know, what is it called when companies are looking for scripts and stuff?
There's production company and agency?
Development. Sorry, development. There's someone working in television development that has some sort of, now is a little bit inquisitive of like, what's this guy have to offer? Because yeah. And where could we send them to go check out your stuff?
Apples to apples.com.
No, I do. I would love to write a...
Your Instagram.
Yeah, go to my Instagram, at Brian Frangie. But I would love to have one day, this is not like my dream, but I do want to have a coffee table book about apples.
Yeah. Okay.
That seems pretty easy.
That's the next call.
Yeah.
That's the text that you get. Okay, we're going to get to the rest of our calls after this break. And I would implore you guys to think of this yourself and maybe call into the show and let us know what your your call would be.
And
you can find that at our Instagram underneath our bio. In the bio part, there's a link to a place where you can leave us a Fanthrax message and tell us what your call is. This is so fun. We'll be back with more. Oh my God, you guys, I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast, because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know, because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues, like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they're all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Okay, Noah. Ring, ring, ring. It's your dream calling.
Hello?
Noah.
Oh, yeah. Hi. Can you speak louder? I can't hear you. Are you there? Hello?
Yeah. Just one second, please. I just need to close out these windows right here. And yes. Hi. It's Noah.
Noah, we have great news. You have land with a farm and cows and horses and all the animals that you've ever dreamed of.
What?
It's all paid for. You won't have to pay property taxes either. It's all yours.
Whoa.
Whoa. Okay, so Noah's dream is to inherit land with cows. What else was on it?
Horses, chickens.
And where is this? Okay, so, wow, this sounds great. Where exactly can I ask, can I ask a few questions? Is that okay?
Yeah, of course.
Okay,
the rest of your
where
life.
Where exactly is this, farm?
In Arizona, where there's really comfortable weather all year long.
Okay, wow. Well, this is really great, and I'm just gonna need a couple days to think about it.
there's gonna be dogs and cats. Do we say that?
Oh.
Oh, wow. Will they get along? It sounds like it's two animals that don't get along. I'm thinking of all the problems with this. This is my hell, isn't it? Inheriting land and getting a cartoon that I have to produce. I'm sorry to make it about me, but I'm thinking, like, I love that other people's, I love that everyone's dream is so different.
I just want to have an animal sanctuary. That's my dream.
Oh, that sounds so good, Noah. I want to come visit it.
That does sound amazing.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, if you're a bestie at home right now,
can you have a wing for birds?
I can't wait to hear all these
pun intended.
Yeah, I can't either.
When he retired, I was like, that is my dream. I want to be able to retire and just like save animals in a sanctuary.
Me too. We should collab on that because I want to have, I also would love, whenever I see these videos online of like cows playing with balls and like, birds flying around and being friends with other fishes and stuff. Like that's so great. Okay, so that is a great call. I don't know how you're gonna have the property tax part of it.
It's all paid for in the dream.
Yeah, someone is gonna like leave you something. Like this is totally plausible. That someone who encounters you, you're a nice person. No one in your family. That's not gonna happen for you. But like someone someone is gonna encounter Noah and be so touched by her like overall generosity and spirit that you're gonna be one of these people that has left something just from like you being kind and being like, oh sir, your shoe is untied, instead of him being like, I know it is, and screaming at you like Brian. They're gonna be thank you so much. Let me put you in my will and give you all this land.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll take it.
Ring, ring, ring.
Hello?
Yep.
Me?
It's Anya. Yeah. I'm doing you. And then you're your dream.
Hey, you know that song you've been fucking toiling over for months? It's going to be in the trailer for this thing, and you're going to be independently wealthy because you and your co-writers will split $2.5 million. And you can finally buy that house that you want with the dream kitchen, and your parents are going to live close by, and you'll live in the same city as your friend, so you won't have to do this podcast on Zoom, and all your friends and family will be close by.
Can I just tell you, like, I'm not even joking, first of all, I love this dream, but the other day, Chris and I were talking about moving in together, and then eventually, like, getting a house if we get married and all these things. And I was like, you know, we're talking about where we want to live. And I'm like, I want to live in I love living in St. Louis. But I was like, I got to get a friend. Like, I need a friend here that I can see every day. Like, I need it. And I was like, I'm going to work on convincing Anya to move to St. Louis.
Really?
And so, yes.
We're open to it. We're open to
it. I know. And Chris goes, really? And I go, I think they're open to it. And I'm like, I think I can sell them on it. I'll like see what I can do. But I like that that was part of your dream as well, because it's part of mine. I like need to live close to a friend.
That's the thing, everyone, that is so useful about this, because I don't even know exactly what my dream is. I just know generally I want to be close to friends and family. Don't know how that's going to happen, but you don't have to know. But just by articulating it, something in your subconscious mind kind of like revs up a little bit. And then you start making choices in your life that are slightly different, because now you kind of know the feeling you want to have. Like, I want to have the feeling of being close to friends, or like doing the podcast in the same room, or like having my parents down the street. Don't know how it's going to happen, but it just, I think it affects your choices in small ways. It's not magic, you know what I mean? But it just gets you thinking in a different way.
Okay, here's mine. Wait, what, Brian?
No, I was just going to ring the phone. But I do want to say, it's also important. It's not just thinking in the same way. It's when you do this phone call conversation, it generates a feeling inside of you. It's a feeling of what you would feel like when you did have success, which your subconscious brain
tells your subconscious mind that you're getting it.
Yeah,
and then your subconscious mind makes it happen.
And so often you start feeling more worthwhile and worthy. Like when I was trying to be in a happy relationship and I was painfully single and sad and dejected, I would do that in the mirror every night, like as if the guy I liked, my dream partner, was saying all the things I'd ever want said to me. And at first I couldn't come up with anything. And then I was like, well, how can you have a dream partner if you don't even know what you want? But then it was like, I love you. I have your back. You're the sexiest person I've ever met in my life. Like things that sounded ridiculous to me, but I'm like,
you said it out loud.
Yes. And then I started crying. Yeah. And then I'd be like, this is so awkward and weird. But like, why is that crazy?
Where did you hear to do that?
A friend of mine was like, you should do some affirmations. Like, tell yourself all the things you want, your dream
partner.
And
you got it.
And then I started going to bed at night instead of crying myself to sleep. I had the feeling that I was in love and I was having amazing dreams and I was like giddy and like I had this crush feeling and I was like, this feels bad. Like, this feels like I'm getting away with something, like doing drugs. I was so high off this feeling. It fucking worked. So if you're in that situation in your life, try that for a couple nights in a row. Tell yourself the things you wish your dream partner would say to you. No one ever has to know. You never have to say it on a podcast.
You don't have to, but like, it's so nice that you did, because it is embarrassing, all of these things, like doing them alone. Or like, that's why it helps this phone call thing to like do it as a podcast. This is like content, so it doesn't have to be as embarrassing.
Okay, so
and that's
here's
why I'm asking you to call
up the phone.
In because I'm asking you to do it, so you don't have to feel bad about
here's
doing
Nikki.
It. Okay.
Hello. Oh.
Hi, is this Miss Glazer?
Yeah, hold on. I got my sleep mask. Who is this? Wait. Can I call
you
back?
Actually, this is urgent. It won't take long, I promise you. And you can think about it. And don't worry. This is not going to, you don't have to do anything right now about it. That's my dream, is someone starting that with like, you don't have to get back to this right away. Okay. Taylor Swift has heard about you and your love of her music and appreciation of her music. And she, is really looking to mentor someone musically to take them through the process of being a singer-songwriter. And she really thinks, based on what she's heard from you and what she's seen of you, that you really have what it takes to be a great singer-songwriter and that she can really help you through that process. And she wants to be your mentor and is inviting you to come out on the road with her and just be a part of the experience. And she'll try to help you write off stage. And she really also wants some of your comedic input in her own life. And I think that she artistically thinks you could both benefit each other very much. And then eventually we'd like to work towards a place where you can, be featured on a song of hers on a future album and then share the stage with her at some point in a future concert. If you work hard enough and you get to the point where she thinks you're deserving of that.
Wow.
I love this. No one knew this.
What?
Not well, really. This is cool.
We could have imagined. We could have imagined. Like, not to this degree.
You
were
kind of saying you never wanted to meet her.
So yeah. This is I like the collaboration.
Chris said,
aspect.
Don't meet her until she wants to meet you. Like, that's the ticket is like, you don't meet your heroes. We heard that from someone famous. I forget who. Chris could remind me, but he said, don't, because I think I have a chance to meet her this weekend and I'm going to turn it down because I just don't want, I want to meet her when she wants to meet me. And because I'm going to see her this weekend. Sorry to people who haven't been able to go to Eras yet. I know this is getting annoying. But in Chicago, I'm going to see her with my mom and then another night, two nights. But yeah, I just feel like I think my last time we did this in the girls chat, this phone call thing, my dream was like her asking me to be in a music video. But that would be like me being like funny in it. And I don't really want to do that. Like I like what Birbiglia did in her music video. I thought that was so awesome. I would have loved to be asked to do that. But I want her help in becoming an artist, even though like, and I want her approval, I guess it would be, or like, I want her to see something in me and be like, you've got it, girl, you know, something like that. I think that's why that whole thing was about like, she's noticed that you have what it takes, but that you might need some assistance and she's going to help you
because I
acknowledge that what I want, I need a lot more help on. So I think what I've learned from this test is that I'm still about the hard work of it all. And I don't want like a simple fix, but I want to earn something. But I want, I'm open to help.
So what did you, when you were saying that and you were doing the phone
final
call,
how
did you feel? What were the feelings that manifested?
Like, yes, I get to go do something and like be a student again and be a novice, and I get to clearly I'll be paid well and taken care of on this tour, so I don't need to worry about money. I don't need to be worried about taking, like, I love doing comedy and gigs, like I'll never stop doing that, and I would probably still do the podcast on tour with her, but it was like there was a feeling of like youthness, of like youthfulness, of like newness, like when you're learning something new or you're embarking on this thing that's like scary, there was a feeling of the feeling I had in my early 20s like pursuing comedy, of like, I don't know what this is crazy, or like and of like approval, like that you're on the right track and that this thing that you're kind of throwing yourself into and have a lot of self-doubt about is validated by the person that you care so much about. And who, like, you know, like Jerry Seinfeld telling me I was funny. I was like, okay, got it. I'm good. Like now, and for many months I was like very, like I was riding that high, you know, and Anya even had to remind me in Europe, like, remember what Seinfeld said? Like, you're funny. Like you don't need to question that. But I do, because I listen to clips of Tim Dillon and I'm like, how can I think I'm funny when there's Tim Dillon? Which, by the way, he has a book coming out. I'm so fucking excited about it.
Yeah.
I heard him on Your Mom's House. I was listening to clips this morning. I don't know if I was cutting with them or I was like trying to be inspired. It's hard to tell when you're listening to someone you admire so much, like whether you're like trying to make yourself feel worse about
it. Those clips are cut, by the way, meaning they're edited.
I get that, but still off the dome, he's just a superhuman. And the fact that I'm even able to acknowledge that and know that makes me feel special. Like I know that I'm talented because I'm able to know that Tim Dillon is the best. Like clearly there's something, it gives me self-esteem to know that I know for sure he's the best. But he's shared in this Your Mom's House clip that was so funny. It's the one where he's introducing his book. You can find it online. I think it's like Tim Dillon Clips. It's like the YouTube channel. But he's talking about how his dad, like one time told him, like, you know what's good about you? He was like, I was smoking cigarettes with my dad at the age of like 11, 12 in his car. Yeah. Like he was like, and you know, his dad told him, you know what's good about you? Like, meaning there's one thing, he finally found it. He goes, you never smoke them down to the filter.
Yeah.
You always leave some. He goes, that's what's good about you. And it was making me laugh so hard. But then he also said that his dad used to always like kind of say things like, there's always going to be someone who can do what you do. You're never that special. Kind of like always cutting everything with like, no matter what you achieve in life, there's someone who can do it. Like kind of the way I think about myself of like, anyone can do this. It's not that I'm not special. And in certain ways I am, but I tend to see things pretty like, it's about hard work. It's about luck. It's just like, don't get on your high horse too much. And his dad would say that to him. And I'm like, it's so funny that, but I think Tim Dillon, out of every comedian I know, I do agree that most comedians, people could do that. And there are like copycats of like, it's kind of repetitive a lot of times. It's not that we don't need more of that. It's great. Every, you know, artists are inspired by others, but I do believe Tim Dillon is the one of the exceptions to that. I think he is so extraordinarily, uniquely funny. And I was just thinking, like, I'm just like, I don't think I was cutting with his clips, because sometimes I do. I go like, God, you'll never be this funny. He's so fucking smart and fast and funny. But this morning I was like trying to be more inspired by it and tap into whatever that, obviously I admire it. So it's somewhere in me, that kind of like honesty and brutality with which he speaks that I look up to so much, that I'm like, let me have more of that.
Yeah.
And I'm even talking like him now. Like, let me listen to this and absorb some of it. The other day I was trying to write like a bunch of jokes about one topic. I just wanted to write a bunch of jokes about having gained a little bit of weight, because I think that's just like an interesting topic to discuss.
So
just like, just a little bit, you know, like it's not enough to really complain about or for anyone to feel bad about you. But I was like, where can I go with this? And I was on this porch of this hotel in Tel Aviv, and I was like, I just want to write a bunch of jokes. And instead of just trying to do that, I was like, who writes a bunch? Who just has jokes rapid fire? And so I just started watching Jim Gaffigan on 2x the speed on YouTube. And I just like dumped buckets of jokes on my head. And like, I was sopping wet with that kind of like thinking and that kind of joke writing, which Jim Gaffigan is just like joke. There's no fat in the jokes. There's no like, you know, I typed in like fat jokes and it's like all Jim Gaffigan. But if you ever want to hear jokes about any topic, you type in Jim Gaffigan in that topic and he has 20 minutes about it. And I think he has the most precise like writing. So I've been using things that I'm jealous of, or sorry, that I'm envious of, to inspire me more so lately. Do you guys ever do that?
Yes.
Do you ever like immerse yourself in something that you might avoid otherwise because it makes you feel bad?
I mean, Tim Dillon did that to me. You know, Tim Dillon was my podcast co-host for like 8 months on like 10 years ago on the Unbelievable podcast.
Really?
My first podcast.
Wait, I think I did know this, but I forgot it.
Oh.
Yeah, he was my co-host. We were co-hosts.
Do you agree with me?
About what?
That he's extraordinary?
Well, this is what happened on the podcast. He would be on the podcast and I was like, this guy is a fucking star. And like, he shouldn't be here. And then eventually, like, what is he doing here? And then, so we had 8 months of, you know, great podcasts. And then eventually he left to do his own podcast. But I this was like in 2012. I was like, this guy is so funny. It's like, I'm not ready to be on the same podcast as him. And then he did leave. And then the podcast was shit. No, but it was fine. And I saw it in 2012 or whenever it was. And then he left. And then I was not surprised when he blew up.
Are you still friendly with him?
If I saw him, he would say hello, but I don't like, you know, text him or anything.
But you guys were podcasting for 8. was it a bad ending?
One of the best moments of, no, it was a perfectly fine ending.
Oh, good. Okay,
one of the
good.
Best moments, because he would come to my apartment in Sunnyside, Queens, and I used to make chicken franchise, one of my best dishes that I could make. And one of my proudest moments is I made chicken franchise, and there was some leftovers and Tim was at the house and I was like, you want some chicken franchise? Cause I know he's like a foodie guy.
Yeah.
And he tastes the chicken franchise and he goes, not bad, not bad. Yeah. A little too much white wine, but not bad. And that was like, oh my God, that was like the best compliment coming from him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the best compliment coming from him that he was a co-host. You don't agree to be a co-host on someone's show unless you think they've got something, and which you clearly have. There's no question of that. That's why. And you don't ask someone to be a co-host on your show if you don't see that they have. And like you did with Tim, like,
yeah,
I want to absorb something of what this guy has. But yeah, it's, and then it's hard to see, especially it's sometimes hard to see people that you started with or like were beneath you in the comedy world, like, you know, eclipse you, or like, I struggle with all that stuff, but I'm finding like, just try to enjoy it and not compare yourself, but like use it to learn. Like, that's why I want a mentorship from Taylor Swift. Like, use these things as mentoring devices as opposed to like making you feel bad about stuff. Like, Do you do that, Anya? Do you do this similar stuff?
I think envy is one of my favorite emotions because it tells me what I want. And sometimes I don't know what I'm one of those personalities that's has a really hard time making decisions because I can see all the good sides of each possible option. But I remember when I was working at the radio station as a DJ in San Diego and I saw my friend's tour schedule. She was a singer-songwriter and I was like filled with envy and rage. And then I was like, what are you doing? Why are you on the radio? If you're so envious, start taking steps to have her life. If you want her life, what are you doing? And that's when I was like, oh, I'm stuck here because of me. But I can have what she has if I start taking, like, no one's going to knock on my door and call me and be like, hey, guess what? You have a full tour scheduled that's sold out. If you've never even made a record.
What was the purpose of this call, this calling thing?
The things we
miracles
want.
Miracles can happen. I'm
all,
just kidding.
Our phone calls are possible. Everything we've all said, I mean, is extraordinary.
Besides the property tax.
But you're taking voice lessons. You are a comedian.
Taxes are unavoidable. It's death and taxes.
Noah,
and
Noah
also got a call that she's never going to die.
No, Noah might end up being like, I saw a really cool farm in Arizona. And
on
I
attractive land that happens
right,
to be
exactly.
a sovereign
tax
nation.
Write-off. She can afford the property tax.
Right. Tax right. write-off because it's a farm?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Right. Yes, because it's a sanctuary. Okay, thank you. All right.
Oh,
it's true. That can happen.
Also, I just found out if you have
thought.
Weddings on your land, you can write it all off. That was it. Ooh. Just that envy is really helpful to me. So sometimes I'll hear a song that I'm like, God damn it. I wish I had written that. And then I'm like, just start writing something like that. I think it informs your next steps. Was that an answer to your question or did you ask me something
else? No, that was
else?
Good. Okay. No. I think that was it. I actually saw this thing. I'll end on this. I followed, I guess on Instagram, you can like follow hashtags and I follow like voice teachers or something. And there's this woman that I really like and she sells like, or she sells classes, but she also gives good advice. And this was one that I really liked. She's talking about performance and like being a better performer. And she said, visualization is the practice of mentally imagining yourself performing in a way you would like to perform in real life. It's a mental rehearsal of skills. Da, da, da. The idea is used in Olympic sports training. The studies show that when athletes use visualization, they improve performance up to 30%. Yep. So for your next performance, try mentally rehearsing your performance scenarios and see if your physical performance of those scenarios and actions improve. So the 30% improvement. I've read that before, too. I think Neil Brennan suggested me a book that was like the 10%. It wasn't 10% happier. It was some sports book about like visualization and like you meditate and you imagine the game you're about to play. And then those players play better. I've never done anything like that where I'm like picturing the performance. I would struggle with that. I struggle with like fantasy and like even, you know, with masturbation. I'm never like thinking about something. But I guess now that there's I usually looked at fantasy of like, you're so dumb. You're never going to get this. Like, this is just a sad thing. Like I pictured it like kind of pathetic. And now that there's a purpose behind it, that you could be 30% better, maybe I could start trying to do it. But there was another one too that said, be well rehearsed. Science has proven that when musicians or athletes rehearse their performance ahead of time, they perform up to 30% better. I mean, that's
so true.
We all fucking know that.
Bringing to the thing we started with in the beginning about weddings and anxiety. Today, this morning, I did like a little bit of wedding prep work that I've been putting off. And I felt so good and excited about getting married, which is a nice feeling. Just because like, I don't know, I bought
you put in some work.
Yeah, I bought like the stuff I'm supposed to wear under the dress, which is so annoying and complicated to me because I don't know how to wear like what kind of bra and what kind of slip and I have to get the slip altered and it's fucking annoying. But I did it. I bought all the things. I'll probably not wear any of them, but I bought a bunch of options and answered the caterer and wrote to the fucking delivery people. And I'm like, oh, now I'm getting prepared. It's the same thing as playing guitar for a couple hours or like before Europe, I picked out all my outfits and all of a sudden I was like 30% less nervous because I'm like, I know what outfit I'm wearing on what day and it feels so good.
Do you ever watch these people like on YouTube, like the guy Jay Shetty with the ice blue eyes and like all these other like influencers that you kind of think they're full of shit. Ryan Holiday, he's the stoicism guy. There's Lewis Howells. He's a friend of mine, but like these guys, And it just seems so easy for them to do all these things all the time. It can't be, though, right? Like, no one just lives thinking positively, always practicing. I think the only person that does maybe is Taylor Swift, because and that is why she's been so successful. Like, I look at her success and it's like, I read this diary entry that they posted on the Reddit the other day because she shared her like journals from the years. And it was like, today's the anniversary of when she picked the 1989 album cover. And I was like, who gives a shit? And then I read the journal entries where she was like, I arrived in Shanghai. I'm very tired and jet lagged. And I knew if I slept, I'd be totally screwed. So I went to the gym. And I'm like, that's Taylor Swift. And then she wrote like, and I just was feeling unsatisfied with the photo shoot we did for 1989. I can't describe, but I just am not finding what I want. So I went back to the original stills that we took for like the outfit fitting or whatever. I'm paraphrasing, but she was like, and I looked at the Polaroids and I realized, oh my God, there's this one Polaroid of me that doesn't have my eyes showing. And there's just something captivating about it. And that's the cover. And it was just like,
oh, wow.
It was she going goosebumps. Over things, not sleeping when you know that it's going to fuck with you. Not because, you know, she needed rest. And this was at a time in her life, I think, when she was exercising too much. And she would probably admit that, too. But I was just reading that going like, there are certain people like this who got into good habits young. And like, instead of me beating myself up that like I wasn't 22 and, you know, going to the gym instead of sleeping and picking out my album cover and performing a sold out show in Shanghai with a ticker tape parade, like, and all these things, I was just like, what can I do to maybe be more like that? Or like, how can this inspire me? So I'm going to try to do more of that. This was an enlightening
episode. This was an inspiring episode for me, too. You guys got me.
Yeah, what are we all going to do? Just sit by our phones all day?
Hello?
Just pick up every spam call. All right, that feels good. Well, until next week, we have so much to discuss. It will be, we'll get into wedding planning details because that's all coming up very soon. Leave us fanthraxes. We'll get to those next week as well. Thank you all for the messages you send, all the kind words about Brian and the show in general, and we'll see you next week on the show. Don't be kid and just manifest that shit with your subconscious mind, bitch. This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You gotta check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at donttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and open Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.